Yeah, you're fine.
Dear friend, you are doing a good work for God in taking care of the traveling teachers and missionaries who are passing through. You have told the church here of your friendship and your loving deeds. I am glad when you send them on their way with a generous gift, for they are traveling for the Lord and take neither food, clothing, shelter, nor money from those who are not Christians, even though they have preached to them. So we ourselves should take care of them in order that we may become partners with them in the Lord's work. This is the word of God to his people.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much. And we can hear how their voices are changing from little boys to big guys, you know. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the word that we receive from you. And we pray that today, may we all be able to listen to what you have prepared for our men. Somehow we all have our lives rooted in things that we believe and things that really shape who we are. And we can choose many things. I mean, some people do that in a specific kinds of exercise or mindset. And I want to encourage you and also to share with you where we are rooted, especially as a United Methodist Church and denomination. There are great things that we learn and we embrace in our denomination that shapes our Christian faith. One of them is what we talk about, the religion of the heart. What does that mean? It means that for us as United Methodists, we believe in this mix of orthodoxy, orthopathy, and orthopraxis. That's the nerd words. But if you want those on Christian regular words, it means that we mix what is our mind with our heart and with our actions. So it's important for us that all of them, they need to come together. We do things that we believe. Our faith is very strong in what we believe. It also comes and shapes our emotions, and because of that, we act in a specific way. So it's all connected. Another thing we do is also we believe in grace. Beautiful, wonderful gift from God is that grace. One that is just walking, trying to pursue you even before you are aware. How do you call that grace? Is the one that starts with P? Give me five, guys. You remember? Right. Then there is that grace when it clicks in your brain and in your heart and you say, okay, now I get it. That grace is not just something out there. It's also for me. Some people get that very specific in one moment and they can tell you the specific day. For other people, it's like a process. How do you call that grace? Justifying grace. Yes, justifying is when it clicks to you. And then the grace where we're living now. And that means that's very important. And something we embrace a lot as United Methodists is that it's not just that you receive Jesus in your heart and you just have that check and that's it. We grow. We grow in that grace. We grow. And how we call that? Sanctifying grace is that we are growing in that grace and that help us to become the person that he created us to be. Then we talk about holiness. And again, for United Methodist, holiness, and especially for John Wesley, it wasn't something that was going to tie your life. Actually, the opposite, unleash. It gives you freedom. You are capable to do things that you are not able to do on your own, but it's God coming and giving you that power. We also learn about faith and good works. It's important to know that it's expected as a Christian that we are going to be able to manifest what we believe by the way how we act. And we learn about that. The way for salvation, we do missions, and that's part of our growth. And then we also learn about risk-taking mission. We step in places that are difficult, but we are capable to do that because we have that kingdom vision in our lives. And today we're going to learn something different. We're going to learn about connectionalism. Now, if you look for this word in the dictionary, it's going to tell you it's wrong. Well, it's not wrong. It's a Methodist word, connectionalism. Can you say that? Connectionalism. You need to say it with the accent, guys. If you don't get the accent, it's wrong. I'm just kidding. Connectionalism. So what does that mean? It means this. It means that through connectionalism, we are capable to share and learn the truth in a larger context. That's the purpose. So how do we do that? It's by the interaction with other people. By learning that truth, we also learn which are our gifts and talents, but we also learn the gifts and talents of other people, and we try to do what I call match.com. You know what's that? How many of you found your husband or wife through match.com. You did, Nancy, really? Very good business in there. It worked great. All right. So you see on that match.com is that you put people and you try to see what are their gifts and talents and how they work together. So this is exactly what happened in ministry. Now, while connectionalism sounds as a very Methodist word, it didn't start with Wesley. It started with actually the disciple and the apostle Paul long ago, because we remember when he was writing some of his letters, one of the things that he will do is he'll be kind of connecting with the churches all over the world that he knew. So one of the things he did, Jerusalem. Do you find Jerusalem in the map? Can you see it? It's in the bottom right. It's the letter D. Do you see it? Let me see if I can do this right. All right, there. You see that? Well, the churches of Macedonia over here, you see that? Philippi, all of those. They gave an offering to the church of Jerusalem. And actually, Paul was helping to raise money through all of these places to take it to Jerusalem during that famine. Why did he do that? Because of connectionalism. Because he realized they need help over there. We can bring help from other places and make a difference. So that's connectionalism. So we can say that Paul was the first Methodist bishop doing this kind of work over there, right? So, but we also have been a very strong church in connectionalism here at Northern Hills. Actually, let me tell you that I am celebrating that, as you know, we have a connection with Liberia. And we have that connection through the United Methodist Church. And if you can see in the map, like little bitty country in Africa, how far away is from us, but we are connected through the denomination. And I just received this picture a few days ago from Pastor Anna Labala. And if you can read it, they received the School of the Year Award. And their school that, and she told me, this school received that award because of the help of Northern Hills United Methodist Church. Praise God, amen? Now, I mean, I am so excited about that. But you see, how many of you went to Liberia? But we did a difference. You see, that's connectionalism. That's in an international level. But also, we have that in a local level, and we can make a very big impact. Look what just happened last week with Pastor Abdon. We received the news that VIA, you know, the bus routes, the several of the routes of VIA who go by the ministry center, they're going to cancel them. And they're going to have a new system. It sounds very good in paper, but we do not know how good really is going to be in the moment of implementing this program, because it's going to depend a lot on people having smartphones, making those connections ahead so they can get to their place where they work. It's kind of risky, because if you think you need to go by schedule, it's going to put a little bit of pressure on the person who's writing. Pastor Abdon knew about that. And he knew they were doing meetings, but several of these meetings were happening where the main people who's writing can go. So Pastor Abdon started telling us, and he started inviting several of you guys, and they went all together to a meeting with VIA. And they were expecting two or three people, but here Northern Hills show up and filled the location to the point they needed to bring more chairs. And VIA were like, yeah, we're just going to make this kind of check and then keep going with our work. And then they saw the bunch of Methodists. Made such an impact. All of them polite, but all of them there. This made such an impact that they called the vice president who was in another part of the country. And they said, a bunch of Methodists show up. And they are scary. So for the next meeting, last week, here comes and here goes Abdon, and he said, before the meeting, the vice president introduced himself to me and said, I need to talk to you before. And they took him here, and then they start talking to him, and you know Abdon, he's always smiling. Watch out when Abdon gets angry, because the Spirit of God uses him. And he's just smiling, and mainly he's saying, you are trying to do a big change of lifestyle for these people. In 30 days, you need to expand this at least in 90 days so people can get used to the new system. That was his main battle. Well, when they saw specifically the questions and requests, when they saw the power of people, the announcement in the last meeting on Wednesday was, yes, we're going to listen. And instead of doing the change in 30 days, we're going to do it in 90 days. How did that happen? Because of connectionalism. They didn't realize. They said, oh, you're just that little church, the ministry center. And when Abdon says, no, we're not that little church in the ministry center. We are that church, and we are one in 1604, and we are the United Methodist Church denomination. That's who we are, and that's why we get involved, because we care for people, and we want people to have a better life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he said that, I said, score to Jesus. It was a blessing. So that's because of connectionalism. So we are called to do things like that. We are actually capable to do things like that. But also we need to remember, how does this start? And I like what the nomination says on this. It says, the outreach of the church springs from the working of what? Of the Spirit. This is those things that we do, the capacity of going and helping Liberia or helping with VIA or connecting with other places, do not come because we're cute people or nothing like that. It's coming because we are empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, specifically how that works, we love how John explains that in the scripture that we read today. 3 John is one of the shortest letters in the Bible. Actually, I will recommend you to read it before you start your car when you leave the church. It's just 11 verses, so you can finish it very quickly. But it's loaded of good things. How many of you like loaded baked potato? All right, so that's my homework today. You're going to go and eat a loaded baked potato. And when you eat it, you remember, this is 3 John. Loaded. Little, but loaded. That's what it is. A lot of the words that he uses are very specific. And one of the things that he says in the scripture is talking about truth as the center of that letter. I love it in this place how they announce it. It says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testify of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So he's talking about walking in truth. The way we can maintain our spirit connected with God. The way we can be empowered to make a difference in connectionalism is when we learn to walk in truth. Now, walking in truth in this part of the Bible is not talking just walking wherever you go. It's a very specific kind of walking. And David is going to be the one, David, to come and help me on this walking. And so David is going to be the truth. And I am another human. And the wife is laughing. No, I thought you were laughing. Okay. Okay. So here I am. And then, so David, I asked permission to the wife to do this. She's okay with me doing it. So, if he's the truth, I'm walking the truth according to that part of the scripture, then this is how it goes. So you can walk, and I'm walking always holding my hand to him. I'm never by myself. So he keeps me there. What happens if I get a little bit confused and I'm kind of getting in the wrong direction? The truth is going to say, watch out, wait. That's not going to get you in the right direction. Now, what about if I want to pull to another direction? The truth is going to bring me back to the right place. That's the kind of walking in the truth he's talking about. It's not, thank you, brother. You did awesome. Yeah, it was very difficult. We practiced a lot. And we made it. But as you see, walking in the truth is not just in your own wild here. It's like you are walking, you're moving around, but you are holding to the truth to keep you in the right place. But think about this. This is the other part of it. Many times when we think about Christianity and when people talk about Christianity, they think about limitation. Oh, you know, now you're tied to the truth. I see the opposite. I believe that because I'm walking in the truth, I'm able to step to places that are very scary. Because I hear the world, but then I need to hear God. For example, when God is calling us to say, you know, I need you to take a step of faith, and you're going to need to start something, or you're going to need to stop doing something, or I'm going to ask you to change some behavior, or I'm going to confront you to grow in one place. But when we think about it and you just think in the resources that you have, then you say, I can't do that. I'm limited. But when you're walking in with the truth in your hand, then you realize the power that you have. You understand that by the truth that you hear from God, you remember the value of you that you have, but you also remember where are you living your life, in the hands of who? Who leads your life, guys? God. And when God leads our lives, what's our limitation? Nothing. The scripture says we can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that means that if you and I are walking in truth, we are called to take those step of faith to new places. And through that, our behavior changes because we get the power that we have with God. We get connected under that power. And we can see a list of things. In the first one, it says, we need to learn to live by the standards of the gospel. That's another way to say walking in the truth. We need to realize the standards of life that you and I have are not the human standards, just what we find in here. We are bombarded with those messages of resentment or get angry. You are before everybody else. You go first. But the scripture is not telling me that I should be living my life based on that. The scripture, as we talked just a few days ago, told me what's the first commandment that I have. Love who? God. Why do I need to love God first? Because then my life is centered in the right direction. And then who do I need to love who? My neighbor and myself. So that is living by the standards of the gospel. When we're capable to do that, then we are able to do good work for who? For God. So we learn it's not about how people are responding to me. Sometimes when you are connecting and you're in that ministry, it's not going to be easy. For any of you who have done missions, international missions, you will realize how difficult that could be. So you need to focus about doing it for God. I remember one of my jobs as a Hispanic coordinator in Ohio was to open American congregations to receive Hispanic ministry. And they were saying to me, okay, Lupina, of course we can do the Hispanic ministry. They can be here from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., have worship service in there. And I'm going, guys, 1 hour with Mexican people? Just it takes us 1 hour to say our names? You know, Guadalupe, Teresa, Villalpando, how long was it? 5 minutes? You know, if there are 10 people, that's the time gone. I mean, come on, you know, you need to be more flexible with Hispanic people, you know, we need more time. We eat. I mean, Methodist and Mexican, woohoo. I mean, you need to eat. But then I will go with the Hispanic community and I will say, guys, we need to respect time. You know, for Americans, that's the way they show respect, by being on time. So you guys need to be on time, right? So a lot of that going back and forth was part of the ministry. But if we focus on the differences and the tension, it's going to win. The tension will win. But when you realize I'm doing this for God, your priorities change. Grace comes in. Grace sabotages your anger. Both ways. So that's part of why we do it. And also because we are empowered by love. The love that John is talking in here is not just the cute love of Barney, the purple dinosaur. It's the love, agape, the love of God that comes and transforms and shapes you in a different way. But then it comes a very special aspect in here. And it's talking about we become partners in the Lord's work. That word, partners, comes from the same word of synergy. You know what synergy? I saw synergy happening in my house. You see, I had one faucet and it was like the water was just stuck. So I went and I bought this product that says you need to throw both at the same time, but until you are in the right place, because if you do that in another place, goodbye house, right? I mean, so you need to throw that in the right place where that you need to clean up your sink. And when these two chemicals come together, they are going to clean up your faucet. So have you done that? You know what I'm talking about? How do you call those things? Drain openers. Okay, of course, Lupina. You know, I never think in the words like that. Drain openers. So when I did that, 1 hour later, whew, it was clean. But it needed to mix those two to be stronger. That synergy, when you mix two different forces, when you mix two different chemicals to get stronger. So what is talking in here is saying, You become partners, synergy. You with the other grow stronger to be able to serve the Lord. That's what we are called to do, to become that synergy to serve God in ways that by ourselves will be impossible. Liberia won't be able to do what they do without Northern Hills. But on the other hand, Northern Hills won't be able to understand the depth of the Word of God if we weren't connected with Liberia. We both grow, we both connect, we both can see the strength of being together. And another important aspect about being in that connectional is that it keeps us accountable. The scripture says, do not imitate what is evil. It's very clear, but it is in that group of accountability where we're capable to see that. And it's giving us also the right focus. And it says, follow what is good. So it happens when we are in that connection and that interaction with each other. So we are called to be walking in that truth, to be able to have that synergy. So what happens is when you are walking on that and you are living in that truth, then you are capable to do things that you never imagined. Like, for example, I love this example of what it is to be in synergy. How many can do that? You know. But you see how synergy works. It needs both. It needs both with the same focus, strong, to be able to make that wonderful part of acrobatics. So it's the same with you and I. We are called together to be in that synergy. But to get there, it's important that you and I, first of all, commit our lives to walk with the truth, in the truth. So I encourage you this Sunday, I ask you this Sunday, that if we all want to be able to connect with new places where God is calling us to connect, we need to commit first to be walking in the truth. We're having new opportunities of service. We're having new places where God is going to open doors for us and say we're going to connect with them. We're going to be able to advocate, as Pastor Abdon did with VIA, with other things. But the only place we are going to be and the only way we're going to be able to be equipped for that is when we have that truth in front of us. So I encourage you and I pray that you always say to God, God, help me to walk in that truth so that I become one person to bring synergy to do your perfect will and transform this world. Amen? Amen. So let's stand up together. As a way to say, God, I am here. I need your direction. Here is my hand. Take it. And let's walk together in the truth that you have for me.